Welcome back to the final chapter of Field Hollers, Yield Dollars. In this series, Jim and I bring it all together. We talk about gospel, we talk about Jimi Hendrix, and I ask Jim about his personal definition of success.
Well, this is a story never been told. White and the blue got pregnant, and they named the baby rock and roll.
Just like you're talking about what led up to the first rock and roll record, you've got all these little seeds musically coming from hillbilly and rhythm and blues and all these landmark records that just keep on pushing that boulder a little bit farther up the hill. Right. We don't know what's on the other side of the hill yet, but we're pushing it up. It's just artists are just doing what they're doing. Oh, I'm going to play my guitar a little bit louder this time.
Right.
I'm going to rip off T-Bone Walker's riff and call myself Chuck Berry. It gets pushed a little farther. But in the 60s, the music is progressing. People put out records and each one brings a little bit more to the table. In the 60s, you've got soul coming out. You've got singers that are just singing in a more bold way. But guess what? They're singing like gospel sang from day one. If you listen to the records in my collection of the gospel singers, they're as wild as Wilson Pickett was in the 60s.
When I'm thirsty, yeah! I found something. I found somebody. I go all the way to the dark valley and through the shadows. Guess which way? I found home when I'm outdoors. I found friend when I'm friendly.
So soul just kind of caught up to gospel.
Right.
And the style of singing for soul is gospel, because that's what soul is.
Right.
Soul is not like some amorphous thing.
Right.
Soul began as, you're talking to Jesus, you're talking to God. It's a spiritual thing.
Yeah.
It's soul. That's why they call it soul. But when anything becomes secular, soul just becomes this amorphous, well, soul is whatever you want it to be, but it's a feeling. It's not a feeling for God.
Right.
It might be a feeling for a flashy car,
but
the way you're singing it, that's a gospel feel. And a lot of singers in the 50s had a gospel feel, but more often than not, the R&B artists had an earthy feel.
Right.
You know, because you didn't mix those two worlds or you get booed off stage.
Success has come the lots of them. And failure's always there. Time waits for no one. And I wish someone would care. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, even though I guess Kennedy was 63 was shot, then you have Martin Luther King, you have the war, you have Vietnam, you have all the shifting. And then you also have technology, which is starting to allow instruments to sound and play different. So and the easiest one for me is Hendrix. He also starts to play with this psychedelic.
Yeah, he's experimenting.
Experimenting.
Just like T-Bone Walker before him.
Right. How did we transition from that? Was it out of frustration? Was it out of the records companies, they're still owning a lot of the product.
Sure.
But they're not, to me, having the greater influence over how artists are writing and producing their music.
No, they still have tremendous influence through the 70s. They have complete control of these artists. Here's the difference. The legends that we remember, Jimi Hendrix, there are artists that come in and the record companies just say, my role has been relegated to turning this microphone on and letting this person do what they do because, you know.
Right. And Jimi Hendrix was one of those guys.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Now, you can look at Elvis and all the labels saying, let us sign our Elvises.
Right.
And you get the Fabians and all that crap. Then you've got the Beatles, and then you've got all the labels saying, I've got to sign my Beatles.
Right.
So I'm going to sign Herman's Hermits. I'm going to sign the Rolling Stones. I'm going to sign the Bo Brummels from San Francisco, who sang in fake English accents.
Really?
Yeah. Their big hit, Laugh Laugh, was even featured in a Flintstones episode.
Yes.
I mean, you want to talk about marketing.
Yeah.
Cut me a fucking break. The Bo Brummel Stones. Laugh, laugh, I thought I'd die. It seems so funny to me. Laugh, laugh, you met a guy who taught you how it feels to be. You can look at the product, but they're not going to, like, see a Jimi Hendrix and say, oh, I got to go out and get my Jimi Hendrix, because you can't get a Jimi Hendrix for each label.
No.
You know, I'm not sure you could even try, but you can listen to what the Beatles are doing and saying, okay, let me go out and get something like that.
But you can't repeat John Lennon. You can't go out and find another John Lennon.
Well, they weren't looking for another John Lennon. What they were looking for is another band that sounded something like that. Dave Clark Five. Dave Clark Five was more popular than the Beatles way back in like 65. It was, who was going to be more popular? Who's going to rule the day? Is it going to be the Beatles, or is it going to be the Dave Clark Five?
Well,
we know how that
Well, we know what happened. How did it happen?
It happened because Lennon and McCartney were brilliant fucking songwriters, and Dave Clark Five just kind of kept doing what they were doing. Here they come again. Mm-hmm. Catch us if you can. Time to get a move on. We will yell with all of our might. Catch us if you can. Catch us if you can. Catch us if you can. Catch us if you can.
For artists to make money, do you believe that the idea of stardom, the idea of having two Cadillacs, you think that's out of proportion? To where now, if you really have the opportunity to self-promote, write your own stuff, get out there, that means that you're going to have to take a little less money. So the idea of becoming the rock star has changed.
Sure. Yeah, I mean...
Do you feel like artists are willing to take that hit?
I mean, it's a tough question, because the record companies always made more money than the artist.
Right.
So even if the artist got rich, the record companies got richer.
Exactly.
There's a point where if you're self-marketing and you want to get to the next level, you're going to need some help. You're going to need a company anyway, and then where do you go? You hit a ceiling. That's why even though the record companies are facing a paradigm shift, people still want to, quote-unquote, get signed. Even if they're going to make less money, they don't have the international distribution capabilities.
Right.
You know, they don't have the marketing muscle, you know?
You can only get so far with self-promoting.
You can only get so far.
So my point is that, do you feel artists are willing to give up some of that to stay true to the game? Because now we're living in a period of consciousness about who we are as artists, what we like, what we want to do. And I'm saying, no matter what type of art form that you produce, if it's music and it's played on this great radio station in Philadelphia, that means that you're only going to go so far. Is that good enough?
Okay. What's your personal definition of success? Well, if someone came up to you right now and said, Jim, I love your music. I want you to do a 6-month tour of the United States. You're going to travel in vans. You're going to eat in vans. You're going to sleep in vans. But you really need to put yourself out there to really get it moving. Okay, do I want to be away from my wife and daughter for 6 months, making 1/16 of the money that I currently make at my day job?
Right.
You know, I'm not a young man anymore either, but even if this choice was put to me in my 20s when I was married without a child, chances are I would have more likely taken that offer.
Right.
But the fact is, there's a sacrifice to doing it too. And if you're just some guy who's working at 7-Eleven and he's put everything he has into his music, and will you tour for 6 months?
Right.
Yeah, we're going for it.
Right.
You know?
Right.
There's a band that I heard called Dr. Dog. And they're out of Philadelphia. Have you heard of them?
Yeah.
Great, right? Jackie wants a black eye.
some proof that she's been hit. John wants the answers, but the questions just don't quit.
And these cats are just starting a tour, right?
Right.
And so I'm reading some of the stuff on their website, and they're saying, yeah, we're touring and it's all we ever wanted, but Jesus Christ, we miss our friends and it's such a disorienting way to live. And, and you know, so that's what they're feeling right now, going and putting themselves out there. It's what they've always wanted, but they're feeling the downside. I guess if you're self-promoting and you're selling your stuff on the web and you're selling a lot of product and a surprising amount of product for someone who's just doing that, then chances are some label's going to sign you.
Right.
Some label's going to say, here's a ready-made audience. This person has proved themselves. Right. I'm going to sign them. So labels are still signing folks, and folks aren't saying, oh, no, I don't want to be signed to your label because you guys are done.
Right.
It's the paradigm hasn't shifted that much yet. It's just that the castle walls have come down and the peasants are strumming in the courtyard.
Right.
But if they're invited into the king's chambers, they'll probably still go and get that extra push and get on the big tours and get on TV or whatever, you know.
Right.
That romantic notion of success still exists. But if you're someone who's just content with making, you know what, I made $10,000 last year off my music. I didn't. This is hypothetically speaking. If you have some artist who is selling his own stuff on the web and sells enough to make $10,000, they might be very happy with that.
Right.
Myself, personally, if someone bought one of my songs and went out and did the tours or whatever they wanted to do, if someone else just bought the song, and I could sit on my porch with McChuth Brown Ale and have the mailman come up and say, here's your royalty check, Jim. Not only does it cover your McChuth Brown Ale this month, but you've got a little bit extra to buy some cashews. I think I'd be happy.
Brother wants another potato. Brother's got a motherfucking long way to go. Brother wants another potato. Brother's got a motherfucking long road. Stop bringing me down, 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 down. Stop bringing me down, 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 down.
Thank you for listening to our series. We've had so much fun. We've learned a lot, and I'm sure you have too. I wanted to let you know that Jim will be starring in a movie soon. It's called Superstar Dumb. It's a musical comedy. It's about the broken promise of middle-class rock and roll stardom. You want to learn more? Go to devlinpicks.com. Click and laugh.